Good morning. My wife Margie and I are delighted to be with you once again. Sometimes it looks as if we're not going to be able to make it, but by God's grace, we have made it. In this gospel reading, first I want to talk more about the reading from the book of Acts that Margie read. Oops. Philip brings me my notes. Thanks be to Philip. In the story from the ninth chapter of Acts, Peter is called from the town of Lydda to go to Joppa, where a woman whose Greek name is Dorcas, but whose Hebrew name is Tabitha, has just died. And the people of the town are gathering around, preparing the body, and taking it to an upper room there to wait for the ritual cleansing. And Peter comes, as he is bidden, and he shushes all the women out of the room. So it's just he himself and the dead woman. And he kneels to pray. One wonders what he said in his prayer. But when he had finished praying, he turned to her, addressed her by her Hebrew name, not the Greek name, Tabitha, get up. And she woke as if from sleep and saw Peter and sat up. And he helped her stand up. And then they went downstairs to where the other women were. And Peter showed to them that she was there alive. This is a little story in the progression of the incidents of the book of Acts. Doesn't receive a lot of notice, and yet it seems to be of prime importance. It implies that Peter is as full of the Holy Spirit as Paul. The two of them, Peter and Paul, take up most of the book of the Acts. And it seems as if the author, who was probably St. Luke, was trying to keep a fairly careful balance between the two. But this is a small little story. And yet it is a story of the power of the Holy Spirit of God reaching through Peter to bring life to a woman who's been dead. I think that's rather miraculous. And so did the people standing around. She was dead and she is now alive. And so they called together the congregation and gave praise to God. Now, from that incident, fast forward many centuries to Good Friday in 1964 on the coast of Alaska. They're struck at 5:36 p.m. that afternoon. An earthquake, which was the strongest earthquake ever to hit the North American continent, reaching to something like 9.4 on the Richter scale. Remarkably few people were killed, because you couldn't find a more sparsely populated stretch of coastline on North America than that one. And yet it devastated the community of Anchorage, which is where we lived at the time. Good Friday evening, Saturday, people were recovering from the shock, emotional, spiritual, as well as physical shock that had just transpired for the whole community. Relatives were not in contact with each other. People didn't know whether their friends were alive or dead, whether their houses were still standing or had collapsed. On Easter morning, the congregation gathered at St. Mary's Church, along with a congregation from All Saints Church, which is located in downtown, but the downtown area was barricaded off because no one was sure as to how substantial those buildings were, and it was also a preventive from any looting that might occur over the weekend. And the two congregations gathered to worship. And it was like a resurrection. People discovered that their relatives were alive. For the first time they saw them since the great quake had shattered their whole existence. There was great joy as people embraced each other and welcomed each other back from whatever catastrophe they suspected had happened. It was a resurrection experience, the likes of which none of them had ever seen. The rector of All Saints Church and I put up a couple of pieces of paper in the narthex of the church and invited folks to sign the appropriate one. One of them said, "We need," and the other said, "We have to share." At the end of the service, after the people had gone, Norman Elliott and I looked at the two lists. The "We Need" list had three entries on it. The "We Have to Share" list had three pages worth of entries on it. It was a congregation, a combined congregation, that was not to be defeated, nor were they to be wrapped up in their own needs selfishly, but ready to give out and to share whatever they had, however broken it might have been. Easter is a miraculous event. We observed it 4 weeks ago, yet we are still within the what is referred to as the great 50 days of Easter. And so the Easter season goes on and on. So our celebrations have a right to continue on and on. And we have a right to express the joy and the power of Easter continually, day by day, to one another and to others whom we might run in contact with. It's the joyous season of the year, the most joyous by far, because the celebration is the coming of life out of death. For Jesus and for those who are in Christ. And as Peter demonstrated, the power that raised Jesus from the dead was active through his followers, the disciples, Peter in this case, but continues to be so, so that we can have access, to the power of the Holy Spirit of God, if we stay in close touch with God, communicate with God regularly through prayer, as Peter did, and in whatever ways are possible, so that we can continue to be the agents of God's grace and mercy and love for a world that is hungry for God's grace and mercy and love. We see in Easter the generosity of God. We can become as generous with ourselves and our belongings as God has been to us. We see in Easter the life of God. And we can be as full of God's life as was, in this case, Peter, or all the saints who were described in the passage from the book of Revelation that Philip read to us. So let your hearts be full of the risen Christ. Pray fervently that Christ will operate through you as he did through Peter and others, that Christ may be revealed as Lord of all, and that this world might know Christ as Lord. Amen.